This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I wanted to have a discussion with you about the differences between a marketing strategy and a digital marketing strategy. Now, to give this a little bit of context, this is one of the most common discussions I have with clients through our agency, and this discussion normally happens during the scoping and phasing process of our marketing retainers. Now, what is normally the case is that a company either has a marketing strategy or they have a digital marketing strategy, and they think, great, that's perfect, we've got it nailed, we know what we're doing. And in reality, you really need both. So before we dive into the nitty-gritty of what a digital marketing strategy is, let's just have a quick overview about what is a marketing strategy. Well, according to Investopedia, a marketing strategy refers to a business overall game plan for reaching prospective consumers and turning those consumers into customers of their products or services to achieve their business goals. Now, that does sound a little bit long-winded, but in a nutshell, it needs a marketing strategy, your overall marketing strategy, needs to include financial information, needs to include target information, and needs to include details of your products, services, and your selling propositions. So typically, a marketing strategy will contain these seven broad areas: your business goals and finance targets, your target audiences or your buyer personas, your competitor research, value propositions, and your backstory. And if you have heard of a book that we talk about quite a lot called Finding Your Why by Simon Sinek, this is exactly where that fits in. Your overall marketing channels, be them digital or standard marketing channels, and a tactical plan, that's number six, and then finally your measurements for success, which are your key performance indicators or your KPIs. Now, your digital marketing strategy really only fits into item six. It is one element of your overall marketing strategy. And I'm not going to go through the ins and outs of putting together a top-level marketing strategy in this episode. That's probably an episode for another day. But hopefully, by understanding the core elements of a marketing strategy, you can see where the digital marketing fits in. Now, those tactical plans are often called marketing plans, and really, to make this make far more sense, and where the terminology becomes quite confusing, is a digital marketing strategy should really be called a digital marketing plan. And if you go and speak to anybody that's done something from the Chartered Institute of Marketing, either here in the UK or in the US, they will talk about marketing plans. And it's a very defined way of thinking about a tactical rollout of a marketing objective. So that might be a particular campaign, or it could be a set of guidelines for a particular format of marketing, basically depending on whether this particular plan is to do with a time-based process, so like a campaign for a year or for a season, or whether it's a sort of ongoing marketing strategy and you're creating the framework and the guidelines to operate within. So that's a marketing strategy. So what is a digital marketing strategy, or really a digital marketing plan? Well, it's also known as data-driven marketing. So anything to do with digital marketing has the ability for you to receive data back from it. So you're not using any forms of data-less or black hole sort of marketing. So things like newspaper ads, where you've got no control over who sees what and no data coming back as to who those people are, how they're doing it, etc., etc. Instead, you're doing things on your website, you're running campaigns on social media, you're doing things through pay-per-click, whatever it could be. We'll get into those in a moment. but you are getting some data back so you can then start making informed decisions to revise and refine those processes. So typically, a digital marketing plan covers three overarching phases. So they are traffic generation, how are you going to get people to see your stuff, essentially. Conversion to customers, so how do you get the right people from your traffic to actually buy your stuff. And thirdly, how you're going to improve your customer experience. So turning those customers who've bought something from you into either multiple purchases or brand advocates, or ideally both. I mean, that's when you hit the sweet spot, when you get both. Now, I'm trying to avoid using the word funnel, and I couldn't think of another way of describing this, but mapping out your digital marketing plan into a funnel map using some type of software like Funnelytics, which is a free online platform, there'll be a link in the show notes, can really help your thinking here, because it really helps you map out and sort of target the items that you need to work on in order to cover those three levels. And where your digital marketing plan differs from a standard marketing plan is that the items I'm going to talk you through in a moment can operate at any phase that I've just said. So if we take SEO, for example, SEO could be an element for traffic generation. It could also be an element for as part of your conversion process, or it could also be an element in turning customers into advocates, for example. So by mapping things out as a funnel, you are able to then decide which digital marketing channel, which digital marketing technique you're going to use at different levels of those phases. So I hope that all makes sense. So typically, your digital marketing plan or your strategy will include the following themes. Now, it will always, always, always start with your website. It needs to, your website is the main conversion engine that you've got. It is your shop window. It is, in fact, it's more than your shop window. It's your shop window. It's your shop. It's your checkout staff. It's your, the shelves where your products live. It is your piece of real estate online, essentially. And that needs to be engaging and structured in a way that it will take users on a journey from a cold contact right through to advocate. Every page doesn't need to do that, but you need to have that process in place. You need to have that map in place so that regardless of where somebody comes in on your website, be it on a blog or your homepage or a category page or a particular product, they have the opportunity to get the information they require for the level that they're at, and then to proceed on to the subsequent levels. So that could be, if somebody's coming in at a product level, they obviously know what it is that they're looking for. They need to know the features and benefits of your product and why that's important to them, and they need to be able to buy it. If, however, they're coming in on a blog, that blog could be to do with a product, but it could also be to do with something that's maybe a bit more thematic or hypothetical, in which case getting somebody to buy at that stage is going to be quite a challenge. What you really need to do is think about the levels of conversion here and think, right, well, if somebody's coming in on a piece of content like that, then actually they're probably more likely to want to sign up for a newsletter or sign up for more information or maybe download a resource. So thinking about the levels of conversion. A conversion doesn't always have to be a purchase. Ultimately, that's what we're aiming for, because that's what, you know, puts food on the table at the end of the day. But there may be mini levels of conversion that gets a user to that point, and you can then track the success of your levels of content through those mini conversions. So that's again something that you need to reflect in your map. So, you start with your website, and you need to consider the structure of it, as we've just discussed, your levels of conversion, as we've just discussed. Also things to do with customer retention and customer service. Now, this could be things like FAQs, which are great for putting on product pages where you need to build trust in your product to help people to buy it, but also offering a mechanism for people to come back to you and ask real-time questions. So that might be a live chat window, or it might be a, I don't know, a support ticket system. It could be anything. But how can customers get real-world answers to their problems? It might be, and we don't want to think about this a lot of the time, but it might be that a customer has an issue with a product or service that you're offering. And how do they feed that back? Because even if they're not delighted or satisfied with their current product, that doesn't mean that you don't have something else you could offer them, or that they're not going to say, you know what, that company, they were absolutely brilliant, I had XYZ problem and they just sorted it for me, or they gave me a refund, or whatever it might be. So the dealing with problems is just as much of a marketing exercise as actually getting people to buy in the first place. So that's item one, your website. Item two in your digital marketing plan should really be SEO. So once you've got your website, how are you actually going to use that to start driving traffic into itself, essentially? How's it going to become a traffic machine of its own? So with SEO, you need to start with keyword research and mapping and competitor research and tracking. Now, I've done loads of episodes on this stuff in the past, so feel free to go back and sort of browse the library. We use a tool called SEMrush, which does all of this for us in one package. If you don't have... the problem with SEO tracking tools is they can be quite expensive. So as an agency, we can obviously share that cost across multiple clients, so it's beneficial for us to have it. But if you're maybe a marketing consultant or a copywriter that's working with a client, you maybe want to start thinking about working with an agency partner in order to start getting this data back, because it's otherwise you can really start loading your cost onto your into your own business, and if it's only part of what you do, then it may not, you may struggle to recoup that cost. That's really what I'm saying. So, keyword research and mapping, competitor research and tracking. You also need to plan out your technical on-page SEO, so things like the use of keywords, image alt tags, site structure, internal linking, there's loads of things. It could be to do with technical stuff that you might need to speak to your web developer about, minification. Again, I've done loads of episodes on that, so feel free to check out the back catalogue. Also, if you've done our SEO course through the Marketing Development Academy, we cover all of this stuff in there. You also will need to think about content guidelines. So by this, I really mean your format. Essentially, if you've got more than one person writing your content for your website, it needs to read like it has been written by the same person or organization. You need to make sure that you have the content guidelines in place that cover tone of voice, cover keyword placement, and maybe give details of your key target keywords and all that kind of stuff. And then finally, you need to think about inbound or off-page SEO. So where are the places that you are going to target to generate links from? How are you going to generate those links? What are your guest posting possibilities? What are the sources that your main competitors are getting their links from, particularly the competitors that are doing better than you for your target keywords? All of that kind of stuff needs to go in the SEO section of your digital marketing plan. So once you've got your website covered in your SEO, you then need to think about mapping out your content for your content marketing. So a content plan, again, this can cover any different phase of the overall plan. So be it traffic generation or conversion or advocacy, you need to think about content for each of those different levels. You also need to consider the use of evergreen content versus seasonal content. So very briefly, evergreen content is content that is ageless. It doesn't matter when you read it, be it now, 10 years ago, or in another 10 years' time, it always makes sense. It is evergreen. It never stops being true. The opposite to that is seasonal content. So this is content that is maybe only appropriate for a short time. And by short time, I'm not meaning minutes, hours, days, or weeks. I am talking months, maybe even a year. But it does have an age to it. Now, really, you should be aiming for a good mix of evergreen and seasonal content within your content marketing plan. And the reason for that is, firstly, evergreen content is difficult to write. It is really time consuming. So in order to have a regular output of content, the seasonal stuff does become a bit easier to you know, generate on an ongoing basis. But secondly, seasonal content isn't necessarily bad content. So if you think about doing, I don't know, I could write a blog about a roundup of 2019's SEO tools, for example, which would take me, I don't know, an hour or two to write out. And, you know, I could get some good links in there and it would be a really informative piece of content. That's fine. But I've already said it's for 2019. Well, you know what? I can then redo it in 2020 and I can redo it again in 2021 and I can redo it again in 2022. So one of the advantages of seasonal content is that you do get the opportunity to revisit it and revise it and refine it over a period of time. So that means you're not burning through your content ideas without and constantly having to generate new ones. The other thing you need to map out in your content marketing plan is the types of content that you're going to use. Now, for good SEO, everything needs to come back to a copy-based piece of content, ultimately anyway. But that doesn't mean that you have to write it all as copy to begin with. You could use video or audio and have them as transcriptions. You could use imagery as you know, infographics and then have an explanation after it. So what are the types of content that you are going to map into your content marketing plan, and where are they going to sit? Are they going to be on, for example, for video, is it going to sit on YouTube, and then you know, are you going to embed it on your website, or are you just going to put it on YouTube and just leave it there? How are you going to use these different types? That all needs to be in your content marketing plan, mapped against which phase of the overall plan that each type of content is being used for. Right, three more to go. I know we're getting quite long-winded, but hopefully this episode is giving you some sort of tactical ideas as to how to structure this marketing plan for either your own business or for your clients. Right, email marketing. Loads of people think that email marketing is so old school, it must have gone out the window. But I tell you what, all of the data and all of the research that I see and read still says that email marketing, for its cost per conversion, its cost per, you know, contact with your target customer, is still gives you the highest return on investment of any form of digital marketing. You cannot underestimate the power of email marketing at all. Go and check out Dave Foy, go and check out Matt Davies and what they're doing through Funnel Packs. It is all based on a crux of email marketing, and you can't move away from it, certainly not yet. There's nothing good enough to replace it yet. So, through your email marketing, in this plan, you need to have details of the platform that you're going to use, whether it's MailChimp or ConvertKit or Campaign Monitor or whatever it is out there. There's thousands of them. Drips, another popular one. So details of the platform and your opt-in process. So how are people actually going to sign up to be on your list? Are you only going to have one list, or are you going to have multiple lists, depending on whether people sign up for products or on blogs or different phases of the overall plan? How are you going to segment that, and what's the logic that links them all together? Are you going to release emails on a regular basis around general news? So is that industry news, which is maybe more what you get in a service business, or is it to do with new products or services that you're bringing online? How can you use email marketing for lead generation? So that could be, well, and lead nurturing for that matter. So that could be to do with creating downloads or lead magnets, and then a funnel or a sequence of emails that follows that download to take the user on a journey. How do you tell your overall company story? How do you explain your why over a series of sort of short, sharp emails, I don't know, maybe 3 to 5 of them, that aren't long-winded and verbose, but get the point across about who you are, humanize your business a little bit more. And then also, how do you use email for your service communications? So, you know, everybody will receive a receipt when they make an order, or how does it work when somebody submits a query? What's the initial response they get back before maybe a human being gets a chance to respond themselves? So how are you going to use email marketing for your service communications as well? That all needs to be detailed within your digital marketing plan. We then move on to social media. Everybody, absolutely everybody, should be on at least a channel of social media for their business, for the organic, whether you pay for it or not is a different matter, and we're going to get onto pay-per-click in a moment, but for actual organic social reach, you really need to identify at least the key channel that your target audience uses, and you need to be active on there through a corporate page. So that could be LinkedIn if you're doing more business-to-business stuff. It could be Facebook if you're doing more business-to-consumer type work. So, you know, it's up to you to gauge which channels are the best for your customers. And frankly, searching, just doing some general searches on there is quite an easy way of sort of gauging the levels of response. There are tools that can help you with it, but you don't really need to use them if you've not got the budget for that. So, which channels are you going to use? What types of content are you going to put on each channel that you've identified that you want to use? The other thing I would say is, when you're identifying channels, is don't think that you can do all of them and do them all well straight away. Using social media is a decent chunk of work, and if you're starting from a standing start, or maybe you've only got one channel that you currently focus on, going from, you know, 1 to 5 or 6 or 0 to 5 or 6 is going to be an absolute headache. And you know what? You're just going to become disheartened and not want to use the whole thing. So start with one. And when you're comfortable with one, maybe move to a second. And then maybe move to a third. But I would personally, I would say after you've got 3 considered choices, you've probably got enough market coverage through social media in order to stay at that. I've not really come across a business yet that needs to use more than 3. Some companies do because they want to, and that's a different reasoning and rationale for doing it. But for what you need to do, 2 or 3 is normally quite a good sweet spot to hit. The other thing you need to consider is, what are the themes that you're going to explore on those marketing channels? So one of the key things we noticed when I was working in a previous agency was, it was an e-commerce agency, so you know, online shops. Now, nobody was going to buy these things off Facebook, but we were in a growing business, and we needed to keep on growing our staff team, and those people always looked us up on Facebook. So our Facebook profile was a lot more geared around the life of working at our agency. So, you know, staff socials and the office dog and the Christmas party and all of that kind of stuff went on social media, along with our job opportunities. Went on Facebook. The actual content that was there to drive customers to our blogs and to our, you know, pages about our services and what we could offer, that stuff didn't really hit Facebook all that much. That all went on LinkedIn, because that was the platform where our target audience hung out, whereas our potential staff, they were more lifestyle based. So that was a Facebook type job. So, you know, maybe that isn't quite the same as your business or your client's business, but are there, just because your ideal customer doesn't necessarily hang out on a particular channel, is there another part of your business that a social media channel can serve? Don't rule that out. Right, finally, pay-per-click. So this is the last part of your digital marketing plan, and basically a lot of what we've covered already can feed into pay-per-click. You need to identify the channels firstly, you need to identify whether pay-per-click is for you or isn't for you. And again, that's a different podcast episode. You also need to identify if you've got the budget for it. Let's just work on the assumption that we are running with it, so because otherwise it would make this part of the podcast exceptionally short. So you need to identify the channels that you're going to use and how you're going to use them. So whether that is running cold ads to new leads, whether that's trying to get somebody to like your Facebook page or your LinkedIn page, or whether that is using retargeting on those channels. So somebody's already visited your website and you're using this channel to try and get them to visit again. If you want a sort of very clear idea of how retargeting works, if you've never seen retargeting in action before, go and visit AO.com and look at any dishwasher or washing machine or fridge freezer or something like that, and then watch how that machine follows you around the internet for the next 60 days. And that is a perfect example of how retargeting works. You also need to document then the landing pages that you're going to use through your pay-per-click. So you know, this goes back to your content marketing plan that you put in place a few steps ago. So are you going to run them to pay-per-click to blogs? Are you going to have dedicated landing pages? Are you going to do sort of pseudo category pages if you're running an e-commerce store? Are you running ads directly to products? How are you going to do it? And from there, you might need to bump something back into your marketing plan, your content marketing plan, because you're going to need some extra copy in certain places. So you also need to think about your conversion levels. So is the only conversion you're going to give to "Hey, buy me," or is it going to be something to do with "Sign up for our newsletter" or "Contact me this way"? How are you going to progress somebody through from that page, not only as a paid for conversion, but as a as a mini conversion on that plan to build somebody into a paying customer? So that is a complete whistle stop tour in about 15 minutes of what a digital marketing plan should look like. All of the points that I've just mentioned are going to be in the show notes that are at peteeverett.com/075. So make sure that you go through and you process what those are. And if this is of any help to either your business or your clients, make sure that you just take the time to detail each part of that digital marketing plan. So according to Smart Insights, 45% of companies they looked at in their 2019 survey did not have a digital marketing strategy or plan. So is that you? Are you part of that 45%? An additional 15% said that they did have a loose plan that they sort of followed. So it wasn't maybe massively documented, but at least it was a plan in place. That means that 60% of the companies they talked to, and I believe it was nearly 1,000 companies in their survey, 60% of them, that's 600 companies, didn't have a defined plan that they followed and mapped out for the next period. That could be a year, could be 3 years, could even be 3 months. 600 companies out of 1,000 didn't have that in place. The thing is, though, without one of these plans in place, essentially you're slightly directionless. You're a little bit haphazard in some of the decisions that you make, and you can, because you're sort of scratching about without a direction, that can come across as the opinion of your company. It's like the impression that you give through the content that you put out through the people that follow you. Because believe me, people will be following you. The question is, are they the right people, and are you doing something to turn them into customers? Because that is actually your responsibility. Or if you're a marketing consultant, it's your responsibility to ensure that your client is doing that for their customers. Now, if you've got any questions with any of the above, please reach out to me in the group. If you want to have a discussion about becoming an agency partner, that is more than something that we do through our agency. So again, reach out through the group, send me a direct message, and I'd be delighted to talk to you about how we can help you put one of these plans in place, either for you or for your clients, and how we can then actually tactically roll this out and see some successes coming back through this for you or for your clients. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. Show notes are on peteeverett.com/075, and I'd love to see you in our Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast and you'll find us. We'll be there. I'll see you next week.